In today's episode, I'm going to be answering your questions, and no topic is off limits. I grab my coffee, make sure you grab yours, and let's get right into it. I'm your host, Amanda Ensing, and you're tuning in to Liberty Before Lipstick. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of Liberty Before Lipstick. In today's episode, I'm going to be answering your questions. I asked everyone to send in their questions via my Instagram story, and nothing is off limits. I'm so excited to sit down, hang out, and answer anything and everything. So I'm just going to hop right into answering questions, and thank you to everyone who sent in questions. We have a lot here. I'm going to try to get in as many as I can in this episode. The first question is, do you feel a sense of freedom now that you are very open about being conservative? For most of my social media career, I kept very quiet when it came to politics. Because I studied politics in college, once I graduated, it kind of left a bitter taste in my mouth. I really didn't have much faith in the government or the political system until Trump came into office. And when Trump came into office, I really learned so much more than I ever learned in college about our government and about the system. It wasn't until I started seeing other influencers and creators and celebrities coming on and absolutely bashing conservatives and conservative values along with the mainstream. When you see this happening for so long and you're not saying anything, they're bashing your views and your values, yet you're staying silent. There's only so much that you can take of that. And when I saw people getting canceled, people losing their jobs because of their conservative values, I just kept asking God, like, why is this happening? When is enough going to be enough? I told God, look, I'm not going to talk about politics unless you want me to. And I had this encounter with God. I actually have a highlight on my Instagram. It's under Esther if you want to check it out. And I talked about one really amazing encounter I had where I felt God telling me, you need to speak up now. And when I spoke up on my conservative values, I didn't think it was going to be such a big thing. And you'll see the news headlines paint conservatives that are vocal like, this celebrity comes out as being conservative. You know, why do people have to come out as being conservative? It seems like such a dramatic thing that you have to quote unquote come out with your political views, but that's why we have two parties. You don't want to have a tyrannical dictatorship where everyone thinks the same, acts the same, everyone's thoughts are policed. You have to have different sides. You have to have checks and balances. We live in a constitutional republic. We don't live under communism. So when I spoke up on my conservative values, it was something I was proud to speak up on. Even though it was the most terrifying video I ever made talking about my conservative values, it was also the most liberating thing that I'd ever done. And once I started speaking up on my views, I couldn't stop speaking up on my views. Because if you were quiet about your beliefs, then you really don't care that much about your beliefs. Because if you believe in something and you hold it near and dear to you and it's the way that you live your life, you are unashamed to speak up on it. You get some hate at first, of course, because there are people that are going to be like, oh, well, I don't agree with this, and they don't even want anyone around them with different views. But as long as we have the fundamental core values as human beings of faith, family, and freedom, it shouldn't matter what the political party is. Unfortunately, we live right now in a society where you have a very radical agenda being pushed by the mainstream and the liberal media. The Democratic Party is no longer the Democratic Party of JFK. Liberals preach on being progressive, and being progressive is not the bad thing. It's being so progressive to the point that you're regressive, which is the bad thing. And when I saw the media and the left and celebrities all pushing this whole thing of everyone in America that's white is racist, and every cop is bad, and all of these super woke ideologies that are not backed by any statistics, that aren't true, that only push further division. When I saw the division being pushed, I couldn't be quiet any longer. And the best part about being vocal on my views is that people know where I stand. Love it or hate it, that's on you, not on me. You know who I am. I don't have anything to hide. And me speaking up for my conservative views brought so many like-minded people to my platforms. So we've made our community even stronger, which is amazing. You know, the whole point of me speaking up is that you don't have to believe what I believe, but you have to respect my right to have my beliefs. We are missing the fundamental point of freedom in this country right now. You don't have to believe what the mainstream, what Hollywood, what celebrities are telling you because they think they're super woke. You have the right to have your views, whether they're conservative or not. That is your choice. And that's really the bottom line of what I want to encourage everyone listening on my podcast is, look, be vocal about your beliefs and have discussions with people. Don't condemn people because they don't vote the same way you do. Next question, advice how to respectfully speak up against masks in church, pastor still mandating. This topic reminds me of some things that I touched on in my kingdom versus culture episode. Unfortunately, there are a lot of churches in America that have bowed down to the culture instead of bowing down and respecting God's word and God's truth, which is above all. People have given in to fear. They've given in to government taking away freedoms and rights. It's really sad because when you enter into the house of God, you're entering into a place where you believe miracles can happen. I couldn't imagine going to a church that said, hey, you have to wear masks to come worship God. I personally would not go to that church. If you follow Jesus and you believe that he can work miracles, you believe he can take care of you, you believe that he will keep you safe, if you believe he gave you an amazing immune system, there is nothing to fear. God does not give us the spirit of fear. In addition to that, even if you don't put God's miracles into the picture, which should be the first thing you think of, but secondly, even the science, right? There is no science supporting that masks prevents COVID transmission. We've seen it again and again and again. I'll link a paper in the description bar that wearing masks during COVID is a health hypothesis. It's not even a theory. As far as how to respectfully speak up, it would be speaking God's truth, reading scripture that tells you that we should not have the spirit of fear. I don't believe God would want you to cover up your beautiful face in his house to worship him. And in Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. As God's been exposing so much the last year, he's also exposing things in the church. You see a clear divide of pastors who stand for God's word, who are preaching God's truth, who aren't closing down. And then you see the pastors who are pushing the culture, pushing critical race theory, pushing wearing the masks or else you can't come here. We are seeing very clearly who is walking with Jesus. This might make a lot of people upset, but if you're a Christian and you believe that you need the vaccine to be okay, that you need to wear a mask to be okay, I would highly recommend praying to God, even looking at the science, over 99% survival rate. The media, the government has pushed the spirit of fear on the people because when you push fear on people, you can get them to do anything you want. Look back into history. You need to wrap yourself in God's armor and the spirit of courage. God has given us this amazing immune system. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. In addition to using God's truth to talk to your church, you can also bring the science. How come churches have to be closed, but flights are open? How come bars are open? How come Walmart, Target, huge stores are open? Hundreds of people shopping in the stores, they're open, yet churches have to remain closed. This has been an attack on the church. Many pastors have talked about this. Pastors and leaders of churches are to guide the people to God and to God's word and to not fear. The church that I go to, you don't have to wear masks, and there have been no issues in the church with COVID, and it's a very big church. Next question, can we expect to see you run for a political position anytime in the future? That's really sweet. I've seen a lot of people asking these questions, surprisingly. I don't see myself running for any kind of political position. You know, whatever God wants me to do, I will do. You know, I always make plans, God makes other plans, but in the near future, I really see myself focusing on my cosmetic line and doing a lot of other types of things to get involved in my community and to get involved with you guys. I would love to go around the US as things start to open up and do little conferences and just more ways for us to get together and to encourage one another. But I don't see myself running for any kind of political position. What is your educational background and experience? I went to the University of Tennessee and I majored in political science and business administration. My focus in poli sci was on international foreign relations. So my whole career plan was to go to law school. I interned at an attorney's office through high school, and then I worked there part-time through college. I was president of the pre-law fraternity at my college my senior year. Right at the end of my junior year, I started to learn about makeup. I started watching YouTube videos. I really just found this passion for makeup. And I had prayed every single day of college, like, God, just guide me to what you want me to do. Because even though I was going towards law, it just didn't feel right. But I didn't know what else I would do. So I found this passion for makeup. And I'd always loved tech and digital and content creation. I'd always loved photography and videography. So I started uploading makeup videos on YouTube. And next thing you know, I had a little bit of a following. And I didn't know you could even make money online. I was just doing it because I couldn't be pulled away from it. I was so passionate about it. And so my senior year of college, I met with my marketing professor and I was like, hey, you know, I have 20,000 followers. What could I do in marketing to market myself? How can I, you know, make a job out of this? And he was so impressed that he introduced me to the dean of the business school. So for a master's program, and they essentially offered me a really good opportunity to go get my master's and also work for them and help them with their social media. And I was, you know, getting ready for law school. And then I thought, okay, well, I don't want to go to law school. And then I got this opportunity to get my master's degree. And I was in a really tough position. I remember there was a beauty conference. It was the first beauty conference ever in Los Angeles. And I was like, okay, if I get my master's, I won't be able to go. And that seems like something so small, but to me, it was such a big deal. So I said no to everything. I prayed about it and I said, I'm going to follow my dreams. I want to be in the beauty space. I started applying for companies to work in PR and marketing, and none of them even gave me a call back. And so I took the summer after college. I took out all the loans I had left. It was only a couple thousand dollars. I said, okay, I'm going to use this money to pay for my rent, and I'm just going to focus on content creation. I remember I got my very first sponsorship opportunity, and this company reached out and said, hey, we want to pay you $200. For a sponsored video. And I was like, oh my gosh, someone wants to pay me. And so I responded and I said, $500 and you got a deal. And that was my first sponsored video. I went to that conference in LA. I had little business cards printed out with my YouTube channel and a little QR code. And after that, you couldn't stop me. I was always in my emails, finding ways I could work with brands and talk about products that I love. Needless to say, I learned more about business on my own, just experiencing running my own business, than I did in school. What is a memory that brings you joy? One of my favorite memories is being outside during the summers with my brothers. So I have two younger brothers, and we didn't grow up with a whole lot, but we did have a lot of land. And that's something that I want to have in the future. I can't wait to have a house with lots of land and to grow my own food and just to be out in nature, because I grew up always outside. You know, me and my brothers during the summers, we would take our bikes and we would bike down to the pond or to the stream. And we would just have like what we call little adventures where all three of us would just be outside and be kids and have fun, you know, not really on our phones, not playing video games much. And those are memories that make me so happy because they were such innocent times and you really didn't have to worry about anything. And you look at the digital age now and so many kids are on their phones or on TikTok or on video games all the time. It makes me sad because some of my best memories were just playing outside and being kids. So that is a memory that I always can think of and it brings a smile to my face. Any advice on how to be bold in faith and values as a teacher in liberal districts? Unfortunately, this is something that's very real right now because we find ourselves in an education system that is very liberal, that isn't always accepting of conservative values or anything that doesn't fit in with the liberal agenda. I think being bold in your faith in a liberal setting when you don't have liberal values is courageous, and I think it's what sets you apart and makes you different. The best teachers are the ones who don't tell you what to think, but teach you how to think, just to think in general. Even in my experience, my favorite teachers were the ones who didn't tell us how we should live our lives. They were the ones who taught us how to think. Teachers have a huge responsibility in this country. They influence the younger generation. If teachers can be passionate and bold in their liberal views, why can't conservative teachers be bold in their conservative views? If they can't, again, we're no longer living in a democracy, in a republic. We're living in communism. We're living somewhere where everyone is expected to think the same, to speak the same. So I would say first and foremost, to pray for courage from God to give you that spirit of courage and bravery and to wrap you in peace. And secondly, remember, we aren't here to please man, right? If you're a Christian, you're here to please God. You're here to walk your path that God has set for you, the purpose God has for you. God ultimately is the one that we will face one day. And the first time you speak up is definitely scary. You're taking a leap of faith, but we walk by faith, not by sight. So I say, go for it. I say, be bold and open discussion with your students. How can we grow and learn if we don't have people who have different views, if we don't have these conversations? If kids are only being taught one thing, how are they ever going to learn to think for themselves, to see what they really think, to learn of, okay, what are my beliefs? What are my views? How do you stay your path when people you trusted turn on you for being you? I'm really sorry that you're going through this, first and foremost. But secondly, know that all of us have experienced this in our lives, but especially the last year. Pay very close attention to who God removes from your life. Because people that are taken from your life are people that no longer play a role in your story. If someone turns on you for being you, then they're not really for you in the first place. I would rather know now than later, because friendships take time and energy, and you can't get that back. So when you're pouring love and you're pouring all of this energy into someone who actually isn't for you, imagine if you could use that time and have friends around you that actually care about you and love you for being you. And for every person that walks away, God's going to replace it with 10 more people. Not everyone in your life is meant to be there forever. Some people are only meant to be there for a season. You want people in your life that are like the roots of a tree. They're always going to be by your side. And not having a lot of friends is also not always a bad thing. I feel like the younger generation often thinks they need a ton of friends and they need to be popular, but I would rather have one good friend than 10 fake friends. The way that you stay on your path is knowing that your path is directed by God, not by other people. Don't let other people's opinions of you shape who you think you are as a person, to shape how you see yourself. Don't let other people make you feel less of yourself because of what they think of you, because what someone thinks of you is their problem, not yours. The sooner you remind yourself that God has a plan for you and that no one can disrupt that plan and that these people can't judge you, at the end of the day, God will be the only one that judges us, you will truly feel free. And it doesn't mean it's not hard. It's always hard when someone you think is your friend turns away from you, whether it's friends, family members, loved ones, but reminding yourself that you're on the right path. You want people to love you for you, not to love you for who they think that you are. When and if you have kids, would you homeschool or public based on the current trajectory of public schooling? I do want children. The way that our school system is now, the way everything's been happening around the country, I don't think there is any place in public schools for Christian children. And that's just my personal view. Unless things change, I would either homeschool or maybe send my children to a private Christian school. I went to a public school growing up. The things that are being pushed on children now is not the same as when I went to school. Teachers have a huge role of shaping the future of our children. It's a huge responsibility. I would rather homeschool my kids, teach them conservative values, hard work, about Jesus, and then when they get older, they can decide what they want to do with their life instead of sending them to a school that's going to teach them this woke ideology that the mainstream is pushing. Has there been division in your family caused by you speaking truth? No, there hasn't. My family is really proud of me. My mom was originally scared because she's always been the type of like, put your head down. She's a very hard worker. And, you know, she worries about me. My mom, typical Latina mom, she's like always worried about everything and anything and always like, are you okay? How are you doing? Very attentive. But at the end of the day, I know God has my back regardless, but my family is all conservative, so no division there. How do you stay so strong in a world that is against you? Do you fear for your children's future? John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. The world does not love anything of God. The world only loves what the culture pushes. So whenever you go against the culture, you're going to be hated. I would be more worried if the world loved me, if the culture loved me. But when the world hates you, it's a reminder of what Jesus said in the Bible, because the world doesn't push anything of God. It only pushes its agenda. I mean, when have you ever seen the mainstream push family, push conservatism, push God? You don't see it. You see it pushing lust, pushing oppression, pushing violence. As far as children, I don't have children yet, but I used to always worry about having children because I thought, well, the world is just a crazy place right now. How could you want to have children? But I also think that's kind of part of why the mainstream pushes all of this fear all the time. If you're always afraid, why are you going to start a family? And if you look at statistics and you see how many women aren't having children anymore because they just want to do them, they're not married, they're independent. I was really sucked into that for a long time of, I don't need a man, which look, I'm 100% on the independent woman train. No woman should need a man, but you should want a man. You know, you want that person. You should never need someone to complete you except for God. However, I think, you know, with feminism and all these other agendas being pushed to women, it pushes us to be afraid of like, we shouldn't have children. We should only travel and, you know, not worry about having a family, which having a family isn't for everyone. I also understand that not everyone wants to have a child, and that's perfectly okay. But I don't fear for my children's future because I believe if you're raising your children, you're the ones in control of raising them in a positive environment, in a healthy environment, and giving them a good life. No one else can control that but you. It's also an incentive to want to get involved in your communities, in your schools, in your policy, to make sure that we're fighting for a free world for our future children and for the young generation now. I read yesterday that parents in Vail, Arizona took over a school board according to the rules, and they voted in an entirely new board and immediately remove the mask mandate. That is democracy. Parents, you have a say in your children's future. You have a say in the schools. Start getting involved. Start reading up and knowing what your rights are. Part of the reason why I'm vocal and I speak up is because I want freedom for the children now and for the future generations to come. I want to leave the world better than how we found it. How did you feel when the influencers that you considered friends unfollowed you? There were only a few people that I was a little bit surprised by when they unfollowed me, especially people who I know voted for Trump or that called us saying they voted for Trump, but publicly they pretend that they didn't. You know, it's not my place to expose anyone. I think everyone exposes themselves. The truth always comes out at some point. A lot of influencers, I feel like people think from the outside we're all friends, but a lot of people just use each other for clout, for views. They're not really friends in real life. And when people unfollowed me, to me, it's like, I would rather know now. If someone thinks you're a bad person because you're conservative and because they're liberal, one, they're delusional. Someone's not a bad person because of how they vote. But the fact that the logic is, oh, well, you were fine today, but now that I found out you're conservative, you're a bad person, you're racist, you're homophobic, you're a white supremacist, you're a bad person. It's just hilarious. It's hysterical. The people that unfollowed me showed more about themselves than they did about me. And most of those people only care about money anyways, and we weren't on the same path. I love this country. I'm speaking up for freedom. I want to help people. These people that unfollowed me, most of them don't care at all about any of their followers. And even when I lived in LA, you know, I met some really great people and I still talk to them. But there's also a lot of people where we were never on the same page. We would always go to events and kind of feel like, I really don't belong here. And when I moved to LA, I realized a lot of things that you see online are not what it seems. The only thing that brought us together was makeup, but value-wise, we weren't on the same page. I've always been genuine and authentic and tried my best to be vulnerable with you guys on my platforms, but a lot of these people are nothing like what they post online. And I have no hard feelings towards anyone. The first thing I did when this started happening was I prayed for them. You know, the Bible says to pray for your enemies, and it's not something that's easy, but it's something I've been doing for years and years and years. And even when it's difficult, I do it because at the end of the day, I know I was unapologetically myself and I stood for something. Most of these people don't stand for anything. Most of these people wanted to talk bad about Trump and talk bad about the border and kids in cages, but none of them have spoken up now about the border crisis. Instead, they're living their lives, showing money, cars, vacations. They don't care. And I don't want those kind of people in my life. What do you think about what's going on with the audit and what its outcome will be? So this is referring to the Arizona Maricopa County audit. I touched on it in my last podcast episode, episode 11. I think what people need to realize about this audit is that it is the first audit of its kind in US history. What experts are saying is that this is the first real audit we've ever had because audits in the past They take the same ballots and run them through the same machines, which could have viruses or be connected to the internet. It is illegal for a ballot machine to be connected to the internet because it could be tampered with. And it was proven, if you watch the court cases in swing states, that voting machines were connected to the internet, yet the mainstream didn't cover it at all. They actually tapped into one of the voting machines during a court case via internet. This audit, they're testing the thickness of the paper. They're scanning them under UV lighting. They're checking them by hand, and there's 2.1 million ballots. I also think it's interesting that it's 40 days. Noah's Ark was also 40 days. And no, this is not conspiracy theory. That's just biblical reference. I think that's very cool. It's just something I was like, oh, Noah's Ark was 40 days. It's just, you know, thinking in Bible terms, I was like, that's cool. What I find interesting is that the mainstream media and corrupt politicians on both sides said that the election was secure and transparent as they were covering up election workers counting ballots. They covered up the windows in several places so no one could see in. In many of those places, conservatives were not allowed in. But now we have this Arizona audit that's being live streamed with multiple cameras, and the mainstream is calling it suspect, partisan, and secretive when you can literally watch it live for yourself. Everything is out in the open. The media and the Democrats are losing their mind. The Democrats in Arizona sent, I think, 100 lawyers in to try to stop this, and so far they weren't able to. If there's nothing to hide, what is the big deal? In 2016, the Democrats said that Russia hacked the election. So why didn't Democrats do this then? If Democrats truly believe that Russia stole the 2016 election, why didn't they break out voter polls, ballot images, voting machines, election management system, and do their own audit? I think we should all be watching this audit very closely. And if this one falls, I think they're all going to fall. It's going to be a domino effect. Every other county will start doing these independent audits, forensic audits, on the swing states that were in question. And if there is irrefutable evidence, in addition to the evidence that we saw, the statistical evidence, mathematical evidence, witness testimony, this is going to be undeniable because it's an independent audit. It's one that's not done by the EAC, which I talked about in the last episode. This is huge. How do you fight to maintain your medical freedom from your place of employment? I know this is something a lot of people are concerned about because they are afraid their jobs are going to require them to get the COVID-19 vaccine. First and foremost, you need to know your rights. And it's going to take research. It's going to take learning if you don't know them already. I've seen several states already start passing that they cannot require employees to get the vaccine. Like I've said time and time again, this is an experimental vaccine. It's not approved by the FDA. It only has emergency use authorization. I did see a school in Florida, I believe it was a college, saying that they are not allowing anyone else to get the vaccine because of all of the adverse reactions that are happening. So they are saying, look, if you want to come back, you can't get the vaccine. There has been a lot of side effects and things coming to the surface because anyone getting it now is the trial. So I think it's important to know that your body is your choice of what to do with it. No one can make you do anything. I've had this discussion with family members, and they're all prepared to leave their job if they're going to try to require them to get the vaccine because this is something you're injecting into your body that you can never change. If you want to get it, consent to it, but don't let anyone make you do it without your consent. It's wrong, it's unconstitutional, and it's inhumane. How do you deal with burnout for creating content? Do you ever feel stuck? This is something that I struggle with a lot during my career, and I know everyone struggles with this. I feel like creating content, especially in beauty, when I was doing more makeup tutorials and cranking them out, it can get very draining. I was very hard on myself for a long time of like, you need to produce content. But when you take something that's your passion and then you just start making it feel like a routine, like a 9-to-5 job, it won't be fun anymore. And look, every job has its downfall, but if you have the opportunity to do something that you love, you want to make it as pure as you can, especially in the creative industry. So one thing I would remind myself is, look, when you're creating content, you are an artist. There is an art to creating content. Even when it comes to music artists, they don't create an album every week. Sometimes it takes months or years for them to create an album, and you can't force creativity. I think it's all about giving yourself a break and being kinder to yourself and saying like, look, it's okay. I'm not feeling it. I don't know what to do. Taking some time for yourself because you have to give from your overflow, not your reserve. So when you burn yourself out, you're gonna forever run on a burnout. And I've been there many times where I'm just running on fumes, like, okay, just another look. And you're not really taking the time for yourself to stop and be alone, to pray, to do something else, to get out of the studio, to get re-inspired again. Social media can make it difficult sometimes because you always feel like you're never producing enough content and you always feel like I have to do more. People are gonna forget about me. I need to do more. But cut out the noise, cut out the distraction. Know everything is gonna be fine, but you need to take some time for yourself, re-inspire yourself, do something that unleashes your creativity off camera so that you can get re-inspired to create content again. What was your official red pill moment? This is such a good question. So I've always been conservative. I was raised in a conservative household, but like I said earlier, I pulled away from politics for a long time until Trump came into office. And the first thing I wanted to know was, okay, how did someone like Trump get into office? I never cared about any president before. I never paid attention to politics. I felt like they were all wolves in sheep's clothing, saying things to tickle your ears and then stabbing the country behind our backs. And really, they're only on the side of the establishment. I just never cared until Trump came along. And Trump was different. He didn't speak the same. He says whatever he wants to say. And he was the first president we had that you never had to wonder what was on his mind. Whether you like it or not, he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. He has balls. He's bold. I remember when Trump got into office and the headlines started pouring in. It was negative about Trump every single day. And I remember when the news started replaying the clip of Melania pulling away from Trump's hands and they started painting this image of not even his wife likes him. And I thought, why does the news hate Trump so much? When have they ever done this to anyone else? I never had seen anything like this in my entire life. I mean, when Obama was in office, they fawned over his every single move. They loved him. So I went down the rabbit hole of how someone like Donald Trump, who was a billionaire, successful businessman, always with celebrities in countless movies, TV shows, rap songs. I mean, Hollywood loved Trump, but the moment he got in office, they hated him. They all turned their backs on him. And so I started going down the rabbit hole of how Donald Trump became president and what he was doing in our country. So I started watching the press conferences. I started reading the executive orders. And my husband, Rafael, is a huge Trump supporter, and he's an immigrant from Brazil. So when I saw Rafael getting involved in politics, I was like, okay, I want to know what's going on in our country. Trump made politics interesting again. He started telling us the ugly truth of what the government was doing. He literally pulled Congress's pants down in front of America and said, look at what these people are doing. No president had ever cared about the people before. So when I started paying attention, watching the press conferences, reading the executive orders, and then seeing what the news said about Trump, I realized they really were fake news. They really were lying, manipulating, cutting footage to push their agenda. But the question was why? I'll put it to you this way. The government and the media are enemies of the people. They don't care about the people. And so if they hated Trump, that meant that Trump was for the people. And that was my first thought before I started doing research. He was also the first president to bring Jesus back to our country. He openly talked about God, and you never saw his speeches talking about God in the mainstream. He talked about how God is the boss, no matter what, we need Jesus. When has a president ever talked like that? I mean, the most any other president said was, God bless America, and they left it at that. Like I said earlier, the world is against everything of God. It only pushes the culture. So when the world hated Trump, that made me think, is God using Trump? Which now I believe he is, and he has. Trump's presidency was the first big red pill. And through that, I also learned about human sex trafficking. And that was another huge red pill. And after that, I went down the rabbit hole and I realized we've been living under an illusion of freedom. But in reality, you know, the establishment controls pretty much everything that we do. And that's why they hated Trump, because Trump wanted to give us our freedom back. He wants to give the power back to the people. Keep in mind that Trump donated his entire salary, gave it all to charity. He couldn't be bought. He didn't need the money. Any successful businessman in the past would never be president because they said, it doesn't pay enough. I get paid more with my company. Donald Trump is the first president to lose net worth that couldn't be bought, donated his salary, and fought for the people. The last question I'm going to answer is, will your makeup line be launched this year? I saw a lot of questions about my makeup line, and I've talked about it quite often. I'm hoping to launch this year. COVID definitely put me behind, but I am self-funded. I decided not to take any investors because I didn't want anyone telling me how to run my brand. You know, I've been working on this for a little over 2.5 years now behind the scenes. I started working when I lived in LA. Part of the reason why I moved to LA was to be able to learn more about the creation of cosmetics and to start working on my own brand. Because, you know, a year or so in of making YouTube videos, I thought, oh my gosh, I want to have my own makeup brand one day. So all of my products are made in the USA, cruelty-free, vegan, amazing formulas, and I cannot wait to launch it. I'm so excited. This brand is not about me. It's about you guys. It's about a community of people coming together and lifting each other up, and I'm so excited. And just a side note, Make Makeup Great Again is not the name of my beauty line. Make Makeup Great Again is a movement I started of inclusivity in the beauty space and for people to be able to speak out for their beliefs, no matter what your beliefs are. You know, it's not just a conservative movement. It's a movement of like, hey, I'm conservative, but regardless of your beliefs, you can come here. If you respect all of us to talk and to be vocal and to be proud in our beliefs, you're welcome here. And the beauty industry has become this space that is so toxic, not inclusive at all, does not want anyone who does not think and speak and look the way that they do. I mean, if you look at the beauty industry, everyone looks the same, everyone acts the same, everyone uses the same products. It's very boring. Everyone is the same. They all have the same beliefs and they don't know why they have those beliefs. They're literally all just robots. And there are so many talented people in the beauty space that don't get recognition. So I want to use my brand and my platform to uplift other voices in the community and to work with people who deserve to have their work seen and their voices be heard. Because we should be able to be beauty and brains. You can be a makeup artist or a beauty lover and also talk about your beliefs. When did we become a country where if you talk about your beliefs and they're not liberal, you're not accepted. You can't have a job. It's insane to me. And I'm going to change that. We're getting really close to being done. If you can, please pray for me. You know, doing this all on my own, it's just me and Raphael. I can't tell you how many times we are in the lab working on stuff and I'm swatching things and showing him, poor guy. And I'm like, hey, what do you think about these two colors? And he's like, they look exactly the same. And I'm like, but they're not the same. So I'm so excited. I put so much detail and work into everything. I'm so excited to see what God does with my brand. It feels so surreal that I'm actually going to have my own company. It's really quite amazing. So pray for me if you pray, and I cannot wait to show you guys everything. I'll be updating everyone on my YouTube and my Instagram as we get closer to launch. The whole beauty industry needs a cleanup. It is time for new brands, brands that actually care about inclusivity and diversity and actually support everyone and support different beliefs. And I want to be the first or one of the first to be able to do that. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 12 of Liberty Before Lipstick. I hope you enjoyed this little Q&A session. If you like these kind of episodes, make sure to let me know on my other social media platforms like Instagram or YouTube. It's at Amanda Ensing. And if you want more episodes like this, you can let me know and I'll do them more often. I do want to do more YouTube lives and Instagram lives, just hanging out, doing makeup, answering questions. So make sure to follow me there. If you want to support my work, please head over to makemakeupgreatagain.com and pick you out some merch. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you have a great weekend. God bless, and I will catch you in my brand new episode next Tuesday.